Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the NYBS Radio Show, home of the New York Bigfoot Society.
What's up, Footer Nation? This is Gary Hootenholler, your host, and welcome to the third episode of the NYBS Radio Show. Tonight, we have, we're going to be talking about the Southern Adirondacks. I was basically out there last week. That's why we didn't have a show last week. We always have a show usually every other Thursday, but last week I decided to, head back out into the woods, check out another area that we've been, exploring. I kind of went to the side of the area, not actually the area itself, because, I believe that they walk all through there. And sure enough, we did gather some evidence. So we're going to be talking about that story tonight, and along with what we've captured in the Southern Adirondack part of the state. This is a super exciting show, as always. You say we're three shows in now, and this is a nice, this quick half-hour show, right to the point, and all things Bigfoot. Anybody want to call in, the phone number is 646-200-4444. Feel free to basically, call in whenever you want. If anybody any questions, if not, then we can always talk on the Facey Space page and things like that. We're always posting things on Facebook, and always update you to everything that we're doing today. All right, so let's get right to the cut and chase here. We always start off with some clerical stuff, and tomorrow we have our lecture over at the Middleburg Library. Super stoked, super excited. I always love doing lectures. So you meet so many different people, definitely people that, have had experiences, you listen to their stories, and it just gasses you up to, this is why we do what we do. So that is at 7 o'clock. I was just got a text message actually that it's going to be a packed house. So there's going to be, a nice packed house for us there. And we just be talking Bigfoot and monsters of New York. It's going to be fun. It's always a good time. Now, with that being said, our next show will be releasing a new event that we have in store for you this summer. I'm not going to say anything right now, but in the next show, we'll be releasing that event. Guests are always asking us, can we come do things with you? Can we come see you guys talk? Can we come, hang out with you? Well, we're trying this year to get out in the public more, and, guys and ladies, opportunity to just hang out with us. So that will be coming up at the next, that TV show, our radio show, sorry, not TV show, with that. All right, so let's get right to the chase here and what we're going to be talking about today. Bigfoot in the Southern Adirondacks. All right, when I say Southern Adirondacks, with the areas that I'm basically talking about is from Scroon Lake all the way down through Lake George, all the way basically down to like the Saratoga region, okay? That's what we call basically the Southern Adirondack region, all right? Same thing over in like Lake Luzerne area as well. One of the places that we research a lot is actually in the Scroon Lake area, and that's where we just recently were on the backside of the Scroon Lake area. In a place that we've been basically studying for the last 2 years. Within the last 2 years, we've found, you know, multiple tracks. One night we went out for a night op. It was like 1 a.m. We got some whoops called back at us, which was pretty cool, but also same sense when you're like 6-7 miles in the woods and you're starting to hear things scream at you in the woods. You kind of sit there like, well, is this the greatest idea that we're doing right now? Is chilling in the woods, searching for a possible creature that is, you know, could basically kill us. But, you know, we did get a lot of cool evidence from there. And these are the things that we think about when we're in the woods. Like, you know, as much as we enjoy Bigfooting, we're out there dealing in nature, things like that. We still don't know what we're dealing with. So you're always at risk whenever you go into the woods. It's basically the woods are outer space to us. So what we're going to get into is, you know, what happened last week. So, you know, I went out last week. If you watched any of the Facebook videos and things like that, you know, I was explaining what we were doing. My mission last week was basically simple, to go check an area that I really wanted to check. I've only hiked through there once before. And I want to basically see, you know, when I actually investigated what I would find. Sure enough, you know, we did find some sign, which we're going to talk about. And it surprised me in a lot of ways. So the method that I used during this, research episode was basically I moved. A lot of times that, you know, we'll sit there and some people will sit, you know, start a fire, chill, talk. And what we've tried to do when we do those kind of things is lure them to us. We're their entertainment. So, you know, anything in the area, if you're just kind of at a campsite, you know, hanging out, eating food, cooking food, it's all going to come in to stare at you and be like, oh, what's going on over here? I mean, that's one way. Lately, I've been kind of shying away from that because, you know, I enjoy actually exploring things. So I've been, you know, basically employing a method where I just continually hike through the woods. So basically, I don't stop moving. My goal when I don't stop moving is basically I want things to follow me. I want things to basically follow me through the woods. I want them to, if there's a squatch around, I want them tree knocking all around me. I want them to prod me with rocks, throw rocks, you know, I mean, you know, just basically check me out, see what I'm going to do. You know, and as you walk, you just totally ignore everything that's going on and you just keep going, just like a hiker would be in the woods. One thing I also do when I do this method is I make a lot of noise. You know, if anything alpha is coming through the woods, like a bear, Sasquatch, they make, you know, basically come through there with heavy feet, okay? Sasquatches, even though they come through very quietly and a lot of times like, oh, we can't hear them, blah, blah, blah. There's plenty of times we hear them coming through the woods and running. We just played a clip last week where we had a possible Sasquatch running through the woods right in front of us. So, I mean, you do hear them come through the woods. We want to basically stir them up as like a territorial type thing. Bring them in, be like, yo, listen, we're alpha right now. We're going through the woods. We don't have a care in the world. Go ahead and bother us all you want because we're just going to continue our journey to where we're going. In the past, that has worked a lot. I do get different questions about it, as is, well, won't it spook them, things like that. It's not going to – well, first off, we're never going to spook a Bigfoot. I highly doubt that. They're alpha in the woods. You know, they own the woods. We don't own anything when we're out there. A lot of us, you know, say we're not in tune with nature, even though, you know, as a mountaineer and things like that, you know, I go in the woods all the time. I'm hiking the high peaks. I'm hiking all these mountains. You know, there's still so much that can happen. With these kind of animals, they're in their environment. So because they're a master of their environment, we are at the disadvantage all times. I did touch a base on this too, is, you know, I don't wear camouflage. I wear bright colors. So many people I see they're wearing camouflage. You are not going to sneak up on Bigfoot. They smell you a mile away. They hear you a mile away. You're not going to blend in to the point where they're not going to see you. And even if they can't hypothetically see you at nighttime, they'll smell you. So they know that you're there even before you're there. All right. I mean, that's just animal behavior. And that's just not going for Bigfoot. That's going for simple things like, you know, bucks, and you talk about, you know, bears and things like that. The animals know you're there, especially like even like little small animals like raccoons and foxes and stuff. Well, you know, we really don't see any kind of cats in the woods too much, you know, bobcats and things like that. They all know that you're there. So I like to employ the different method of this wearing bright collars because I want to be seen. I want them to see me. I want them to know that I'm there. I want them to check me out. I want them to be like, well, what the hell is this guy doing in the woods? And why are you in our territory? So, and then, you know, go from there with it. So that's what I was employing when, in my last mission. Now, if you haven't seen it yet, if you go to the Facebook page right now, I pinned it to the top of our page, you know, there's a foot track up there. And, as I was coming through the woods, you know, I was basically in the backcountry, all right? I was climbing over rocks. I was following the stream bed all the way up, and it's, like, raging right now because we're in mud season. And sure enough, as I got near the pond area, there's this big rock ledge. It's a big rock ledge. And, you know, basically what I wanted to do was climb to the top of it and get a better view of the whole area. So as I was getting ready to climb this big rock cliff, I looked down as I'm coming through, and sure enough, boom, there's two tracks sitting right in front of me. And I was just sitting there in awe, like, is this really happening right now? Is this what this was? You know, I tried to talk myself out of it multiple times. I'm like, this is too good to be true. I'm staring at these things right now. Sure enough, upon measuring them, you know, I had a track basically about 16 to 17 inches long by 5 inches wide, and a second track measuring the same with the gait of the animal, okay? Or if you want to say creature or a Bigfoot, whatever you want to say. So I have two tracks back to back, all right, which is awesome. So that was a key find because I didn't expect to find this in this area. I didn't think at this point in time that they would still be in this area. Normally, we only find them in there ending in May. Seems like May is the time that they all start popping back in there. So in the beginning of April, and this track was put in snow. So that tells me, and this is old snow, so this tells me that they've been in there for at least before it snowed before. So a couple weeks period of time, a 2 week period of time. Which is big because now I know that they've been in there earlier than we were able, you know, ever able to find them. So that was a big find. So if you go to the Facebook page, it's sticking right on top of the page for y'all. Now, we're going to talk about basically what kind of environment that this is in, okay? When we do Bigfoot research, the main thing is we have to look at the environment of what we're doing. It's not just, you know, we go out in the woods, you know, hop around, make noise, you know, take pictures, you know, take videos on our cell phones. No, you got to examine everything around. A couple things that were kind of interesting to me. There wasn't a lot of deer sign anywhere, okay? So the animals in there was not many deer. I looked all over for deer sign, and I didn't see much of it. So that was very interesting. The woods in this area are very thick. So it goes from really thick pines to very sparse birch trees, okay? So while I was coming out of the thick pines, going up this basically hill, and it's like a mini mountain basically, you know, I got into the area of, you know, the birch trees. And that's where those tracks were found, in the birch tree area. Also, where these foot tracks were found was probably about a good 100 feet from the cliff I was going to start climbing, coming in the direction from the cliff. So whatever it was up high, came low, all right? So that's the first thing. Second thing is it was in what I would call a squatch highway. It's a very open, basically, it's very open area that, you know, they can just kind of walk right through, no problem. Unlike they're going through the thick, really thick stuff. When you have like all the thickets and, you know, you don't even know how animals get through this stuff. This is basically a highway. On top of that, it was next to a body of water. So basically following the stream that ends up to this pond that then, you know, is next to this big, you know, giant mountain of, you know, can look down from the high side. It's a perfect area where a squatch could hide. It's a perfect area where they can come through and you wouldn't even know that they're there. They have everything they need. They have water, then you have animals. When you have animals, then you basically have a food source. When you have a food source, then you can go back and take that back up the hill and you wouldn't even be known and seen in there. Where I was, people don't go in this area. I was the only one back in there. So with that said, awesome sauce. We're good. Now, upon coming through that area, I'll say probably about a quarter of a mile before that, I heard tree knocks. Two distinct knocks, all right? I was being very noisy coming through the woods, and we're going to play. I have the clips, and we're going to play them, which is, you know, this is what's great about this radio show is I can actually play audio clips for you, and you can understand what I'm trying to talk, about. But once again, coming through, being very noisy, you know, talking to myself like I do, just trying to make noise. And sure enough, I get a boop, followed by another boop. We're able to record one. Sometimes, you know, with audio and being out in the woods, it just doesn't happen. Anyway, upon stopping, I was able to get one. So check out this clip of the possible tree knock. You understand what I'm saying? You might want to turn your audio up also.
No, on recorder, there's another knock.
And we'll play that one more time for you.
No, on recorder, there's another knock.
And then we isolate it, and this is what it sounds like. All right, so what we have is something very hollow hitting something very hollow. Now, with that said, when we talk about tree knocks, there's multiple theories about tree knocks. Some people think that they carry wooden sticks and they walk through the woods and they pop trees. You know, I've kind of gone back and forth on, you know, maybe it's a vocal, like they're making a sound with their tongue. If they're so big and their mouths are so big that they would be able to project those kind of noises. So they may be closer than you really think. Then there's the other theory that, you know, I've been also playing around with is maybe that they use rocks. You know, if they're throwing rocks at you while you're running through the woods and going through the woods, they're proud to see what you do. We've had multiple rock clacks where they clack rocks together, which we do have audio of that, which we'll be showing tomorrow at the lecture. So it would make almost sense that maybe they take a rock and throw it against a tree. When you throw a rock against a tree, that's the type of noise you get, is a hollow type sound. It is super hard, and it's so hard. And I'm going to do a clip for you in a later show about what it sounds like trying to smash trees with sticks, and you don't get the same sound whatsoever. But when you start throwing rocks at trees, you get that nice hollow sound. So it could be possibly that. Regardless, we are catching these kind of knocks as we're coming through the woods into this area, which is about, like I say, like a quarter of a mile from where the tracks are found, on the same side of the mountain where the tracks are found, because I kind of explored the whole area. So this kind of is like, you know, and which once again, I have to also add, when I was coming through this area, I was coming through a gully. So there was high sides on both sides of me. So I was coming right through a gully. I had super high rock walls on both sides. Sure enough, boom, there's the rock. I mean, there's a tree knock, which would make sense because if anything was going to watch you, it's going to stay up high because they can observe everything. Just like when I, before I found the track, what I wanted to do was what? I wanted to climb up that rock wall, which would have been an adventure just to get up there. But in the same sense, I wanted to get the vantage point. So it all makes logical sense, okay? So super cool. You know, we basically – I never really – you know, when I go out, I don't ever really expect to find anything, especially in a place that I haven't really, you know, explored before. And sure enough, here we are. I got to, you know, basically find a footprint. Then I got multiple tree knots all around me. One weird thing that also happens – this is where again, Bigfooting gets kind of weird for me, is I get a lot of electrical disturbances in some areas, and I know I've heard that from other footers too, but they just won't come out and say it because then they get put in the paranormal group, and I'm not here to do that at all because I don't believe it's a paranormal thing. But once again, it's really weird that in a lot of active Bigfoot areas, our digital recorders start glitching and things like that, and it only happens, seems to happen in areas where we have this kind of activity. If maybe it's magnetic fields, maybe, you know, in these areas, the Earth's magnetic field is a little higher, which then that would make sense because if you start thinking about those kind of things, the ley lines, magnetic fields, it draws animals in. And in those kind of areas, they have, you know, multiple lots of animals in those areas, or it's the opposite and there's just no animals. So these are kind of things I've been studying, and these are kind of things that we just keep adding to our list of weirdness. But it is something that has come up multiple times in these areas when we get, you know, Bigfoot activity happening. So maybe there is some natural, you know, something natural in the area that maybe almost brings these creatures in there and animals in there. Like I said, I didn't see really no deer sign in this area. I mean, I usually see deer all over the place, but not that day. So no pass, no anything, which was super strange. That was basically the outing of last week in the Southern Adirondacks. Other things that we've caught in the Southern Adirondacks, I actually had my one sighting in the Southern Adirondacks, but I won't specifically 100% say it was a sighting, even though I was staring at something. It was very large. I was standing behind a tree, and it slowly moved away and walked away, and I just will not 100% tell myself that it was a Sasquatch, but it was huge, and that's all I will say on that. But that did happen down in the Southern Adirondacks. Also, a lot of different reports come out of the Southern Adirondacks from the Tongue Mountain Range, Fifth Mountain, multiple encounters in the backside of that, going way back to the early 1900s, where on Lake George at the Diamond Point area, Bolton Landing area, they would see what was called the Wild Monkey Boy running along the shores of that area. So there's so many different reports that come out of that, including Whitehall, which is right up the road on the other side of the Adirondacks. So that area in itself is such a hotbed. One of the things that I personally think, by this being logical, is that you got Whitehall right next door. It's almost like a Squatch highway. It's easy for them to come through Whitehall, Vermont, into the lower Adirondacks, and turn around and go right back up through Whitehall back into Vermont for whatever they need to do and whatever they do. It's super easy. It's along Lake George. It's hidden. It's all forest. It's all mountains. You wouldn't even know that they're even there. Only the hikers. And with hiking getting so popular now, that's why we're getting so many reports. So it makes sense. But if you're looking to go footing, if you're looking for any evidence and things like that, definitely check out the Southern Adirondacks. Like I say, like the areas that we look in, they're very promising. I always hear other researchers say, well, you know, don't tell our areas and stuff like that. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, all the areas that we're all looking in, there's tons of hikers. There's tons of people. There's tons of dogs. People walking their dogs through these areas. The Squatches are going to be there regardless of, you know, what we do or not. You know, there's so many people in these areas. So they're the ones that are giving us basically the, you know, spotting reports. So, you know, the Southern Adirondacks, definitely check it out. It's definitely Squatchy in that area, and it's not that far, you know, from those areas. With that said, one thing I want to always end the shows on now, you know, as we're coming into hiking season, you know that we're basically big hikers here, spattering 46ers and things like that. We're always in the woods, as you constantly see. You know, one thing that I'm, you know, it's springtime. So when springtime comes, a lot of, you know, concern comes with, you know, the whole tick population. You know, I just posted something up on the Facebook page about ticks and how this year they're going to be so bad. It's very important for, you know, we all know about ticks, you know, living in New York. Most of us do. But what the things is, people don't know sometimes how to prevent ticks. And, you know, that's what we're going to talk about just a little bit here, is when you go into the woods, how can you prevent getting ticks on you? There's different kinds of ticks. And, there's, you know, basically we have three ticks that, you know, basically are prone to New York. And that's the black-legged tick, also known as the deer tick. We have the American dog tick, which is a wood tick. And then we have the Lone Star tick, which is now migrated kind of up here. All right. Lyme disease is the big thing that we deal with up here, but now ticks have all sorts of different diseases that we're dealing with. But we're just going to kind of stick with the Lyme disease because that's what most people in this area seem to get. And now, how can we prevent that? Well, one thing that we can do is basically use different, you know, sprays and things like that. Wear light clothing. Use sprays. Permethrin. Permethrin is a chemical that you can soak your clothes in, okay, or you can spray it. It lasts about 6 washes, so it's really good once it dries. I soak all my gear, my tents, my backpack, all my hiking clothes are just soaked in that stuff, all right? And it does work. It actually kills ticks on contact. So I've never had a problem. All the times I've been in the woods, it's funny. The only time I pull ticks off of me is when I'm home, and it's because one of my cats have brought one in. And even though my all have Seresto collars and everything like that, the ticks still grab onto them. So I end up pulling them off when I'm home, not when I'm in the woods doing miles and miles. So it's just crazy how it works. But make sure, you know, you treat your clothes. When you get home, take your clothes off. Put them right into the dryer, okay? Do not let dry heat. Okay, so when we don't get a lot of rain, then the ticks start to die off. The reason the tick population is going to be so bad this year is because we had basically abundance of precipitation this winter. It really wasn't overly cold this winter, all right? And things have been very wet. Even right now, it's super damp outside, which is just great for ticks. So, you know, unless we get a dry spell, which, you know, we don't want a really dry spell either because it's a drought. But, you know, the tick population, it's just going to be a pain. So when you come home, take your clothes off and put them right into the dryer. Crank that thing on high heat for about 10 minutes. Boom, they all die. So anything that's on your clothes is dead. All right. Also, make sure to wash your clothes in hot water. Don't use cold or warm water. It doesn't kill them. Anything hot water, you know, you got a better chance of killing off the ticks when you're washing your clothes, because they'll still hang on. Even though you wash your clothes, they'll hang on for dear life. And then if you air dry them, those ticks are just going to be hanging out there waiting for you, all right? So those are kind of, you know, basically some things, you know, simple things. They're so simple. One thing I see too, take a lint roller, you know, have a lint roller sitting in your car and go and just wipe up and down your clothes. It works. And any kind of bugs or ticks around you, possibly when being out in the woods, you'll get them. You'll at least get some of them off. All right. One thing that you want to do is always make sure to check, you know, your head. You know, just go through your hair, make sure they're not up in there. Check behind your ears. Any kind of crevice, they're gonna find a way. You know, usually when I get ticks on me, they're on my thigh or behind my knees. That's where I get them. So check under there. You know, my brother had one stuck underneath his armpit once, and it was like huge. He didn't know it was there. Make sure to check those. Your waistline, your waist belts, make sure to check in those areas. It's very important. Just check down really quick. I mean, I know this is all simple stuff. I know you've heard it 1,000 times before. You know, we're here to help educate and get, you know, basically the word out of, you know, safety. And this is a big factor. You know, these little bugs cause so many problems. You know, I know multiple people with Lyme disease, and you do not want to have Lyme disease. You just don't want it. So if you can prevent it, definitely prevent it. All right. And that's the thing, is where do they live? It's simple. You know, when you walk a trail, walk down the middle of the trail. Don't walk on the sides. They're hanging out on the trees and the grass waiting to basically grab right onto you, okay? Tall grass. So if you keep your yard mowed really low, guess what? You should be okay. I mean, it cuts down on the tick populations. When you're walking through the brush, so that stuff that I was walking through recently, all that brush, all the leaf debris, I'm sure there was ticks all over the place because it was a warm day that day. I didn't bring any home because, like I say, I treat all my clothes. So that's the big thing. Treat your clothes. Just get the treatment. It's dirt cheap. It's like $5. Or you can get a gallon of it. Like, I get a gallon of it and just soak my clothes in that stuff. And it lasts a whole entire year. So, and I have no problems. Even your hiking boots, everything. So just soak it good. But that's just a little bit, like, just make sure you're basically proactive in the woods, especially with, you know, the ticks going to be so bad this year. And just make sure you check your animals. I mean, that's the big thing. You know, when you're out hiking with your dogs, or, you know, even your dogs home, even though they have, and cats, you know, even though you put, you know, collars and topical on them, those ticks will attach to your dogs and they won't bite them, but they'll just be chilling on their fur and things like that. And then they drop them when they come inside. So it's super important. If you have kids and everything like that, you want to make sure, you know, you check them. Because that is like one of the most dangerous things in the woods, not bears, not mountain lions. Not, you know, basically Sasquatches running through the woods. It's these little bugs that will just, like, can basically ruin your life real quick. So always make sure to check yourself. All right, so we're basically down to the last minute. Shows always go so fast. We will be having a couple guests up on the shows in the future. So, I mean, we did have one last week. It went awesome. So we have future plans to have multiple guests to come on and talk about their experiences. We've been up in the Adirondacks. Our next show, we're going to be starting to head down in the Catskills and down in the Cobleskill areas, okay? So, you know, we kind of focus up in the Adirondacks, but we also go down south. So the next couple shows will be playing down in the Catskills with all the sighting reports down there because, you know, once again, this, even though the Adirondacks seem to be a lot more, like, thick as far as fires are concerned, Catskills, you know, very rocky, very open, very easy to navigate for these creatures, and there's so many sighting reports out of the Catskills. But it's funny, they talk about it more in the Adirondacks than they do down south. So it's very interesting to me, the different, you know, dynamic of who talks and who doesn't. So With that being said, Footer Nation, stay safe on the trail. Have a good week. We'll be back next Thursday, so we're going to do back-to-back weeks. And as always, friends, stay safe and keep it squatchy.
Thank you for listening to the NYBS Radio Show. Tune in next time as we continue our search for Bigfoot right here in the great state of New York. Until next time, friends, keep it squatchy, and we'll see you out on the trail. Thank you.